First question we have for you is that we saw the recommendations of the Fair Deal panel coming out last week. Overall, your thoughts on everything you saw and a lot of familiar things that you remember hearing from there when you held your town hall in Peace River and then helped MLA Rain help his in Slave Lake.
Well, that's exactly right. There were hundreds of different meetings that these folks went around to in the Fair Deal panel. They heard from thousands upon thousands of Albertans who came out, and some of those in our own constituency in Peace River. And time again, they heard from folks that Alberta and Albertans don't feel like we're getting a fair deal. Like we're paying our dues in the country, and we are good to other provinces and the rest of the country when times are good here and bad elsewhere. But the reverse is true. Right now, it's hard going in Alberta. And we see this hit even worse with the current oil price crash that we saw with the predatory price war, which is affecting not only the province's bottom dollar in terms of revenue, but a lot of homes in Peace Country, and thus businesses that depend on a thriving economy in our community have been hit because of it. And it further illustrates the need for us to make sure we get what we're owed and are treated fairly with respect in Confederation. And I think the Fair Deal panel and the report that was released last week outlines that. And there's a whole host of different recommendations, which I know we're going to talk about, that are there to try and say, these are some of the avenues we have. We're not without the ability to keep going forward and getting a fair deal. We have those options available to us, and we're going to take them.
Yeah, and we, of course, the link to that report and the 25 recommendations could be found on our website. That is the complete report on the Fair Deal panel. And one thing that really, Dan, stuck to my interest is recommendation 15, which is to make the North a real like hub of economic development and to really accelerate growth in the North. I guess as someone who's been born and raised around here, this is always kind of a tough one. We know that people have always been trying to, do what they can to raise the economic profile of northwestern Alberta. It's pretty obvious. We got a lot of good things here. I mean, we have the main roadway going up to the Northwest Territories, among other things. This part of Alberta, this specific riding, is really in a good spot to thrive under that, aren't they?
Well, I always say the North is the new West. There's an sense of opportunity here and an accompanying entrepreneurship with the people and the way we think and a get-her-done attitude that is manifest in everything we do. And this is true with the opportunities we have for corridors to get our resources to market. It's true whether you head across the province over towards Fort McMurray, then out towards the east, where there's the possibility of heading towards Churchill. It's true heading A to A. All the way up to Alaska. It's true heading west through BC. And this is really the focus of that recommendation you're talking about, recommendation number five, where we collaborate with these other jurisdictions to look at strategies for northern development, particularly surrounding access to market for our resources. And again, the North is poised not just as a place where we can extract and responsibly develop those resources, but as a place we can use to transfer them and transport them out of our province to market where we can get fair market value for the resources Albertans own.
Obviously, as well, and I guess needless to say that obviously there would be such a shot in the arm for the Peace Rivers, the High Levels, and the and other towns within this riding, wouldn't it?
It really would be. Now, the possibilities in the north really, the economic possibility relied more than anywhere else on access to resources and the ability to trade those resources and get fair market value for them. Whether you're talking about lumber, you're talking about agriculture or oil particularly, it really is a question of market access. So that's why the North is in such a good opportunity and is so affected by this fair deal panel and the response that we have to it. And getting a fair deal in Confederation affects no province more, no part of our province more than the remote North.
Yeah, and I guess also as well other aspects of the deal that we talked about too is that we may have we will looks like we'll be having a referendum in the next little while in the next year. So obviously surrounding the question of equalization now, obviously that's one thing we know that throughout the panel and throughout what was said in the report that Albertans and the mathematics dictated as well that Alberta is not getting a fair shake, especially in the equalization formula. Tell us a little bit about this potential referendum and what it hopes to give the government the mandate to do.
Well, you're exactly right. The Trudeau government has an opportunity to respond to the premier's letter that he sent last year, and to repeated calls. Forget about one letter. Decade after decade of Alberta paying into this, feeling like we're not getting a fair shake, feeling like we're being run over, used as a doormat, rather than being part of the team in the country and part of the Confederation. So if the Prime Minister responds to that and gives us a sense of equity and fairness and respect, then that can change. But unless that happens, when we come to municipal elections in 2021, we will be having a referendum on a number of issues surrounding getting a fair deal, potentially, and including the idea of equalization and how Albertans feel about it. So that's the purpose there, is to make sure Trudeau knows that Albertans are serious. We really are. We're in a spot now, economically and socially, where we need to have the support and help of our Confederation. I mean, that's why we're in this, so that we can work together as a team. We're looking at this so that Trudeau can understand that when we come to that general municipal election, there will be a referendum attached to it, and he's going to have to respond to that afterwards when he sees the will of the people speaking loudly and clearly.
Yeah, and fair enough. And there's just, I guess, an overall, there's 25 different points up there. And I know one of your colleagues in the House, Rose, I believe it was MLA Barnes, that had made some, you know, some pretty strong statements about saying that we're calling for separation and things like that, or along those lines, saying that, like, some Albertans want results now or else. And I think the Premier, just to kind of reiterate, was pretty clear that that's not the route that the Alberta government wants to take.
Well, every member in the House is free to speak their mind, at least on the UCP side. And I think that's a point of strength within the Conservatives. Conservatives genuinely are tolerant and accepting of diverse points of view. And Drew Barnes has always been a strident advocate for his point of view within our legislature. And I imagine he'll continue to do so. The Premier himself has made his position clear. And the purpose of this Fair Deal panel is to get a fair deal within Confederation. And that's something I and all the constituents I speak to support. They say, we need to get a fair deal. They love Canada. They love that their family members have contributed to building this country. They think that Trudeau is the problem, and we're not going to let him kick us out of our own country that my grandfather helped fight for in World War II, that my grandfather and my mother's side helped create by homesteading and, you know, cutting down trees to build a farm and contribute to our economy and our culture. I'm not going to let Trudeau end all that just because he's got some weird complex wanting to run the country like his father did. I instead am going to fight for the country and get a fair deal within it.
Well said, sir. Also, as well, I know something as well, because you had spoke about this quite passionately as well, and that is one of the recommendations around appointing a chief firearms officer, plus MLA Lowe and your colleague from Central Peace Notley speaking strongly in case of Motion 20, which puts pressure on the government, also recognizing that the Liberal legislation takes more firearms out of the hands of responsible licensed owners as opposed to dealing with the root of the problem, which is smuggled weapons. And I guess as somebody there, you're kind of, you got to be happy to see that kind of recognition to where the problem actually is, and also seeing that in the report of a chief firearms officer as well, to take action on what could be considered legislation that may not, from Ottawa, that may not target the right target.
Yeah, the people who should be most concerned about the Trudeau firearm ban should be everyone, including myself, and I imagine all of the listeners. People who are concerned should be the ones who are concerned about violent gun crime. That is something that this move by the Trudeau government is not addressing, and because he doesn't address it, it's a missed opportunity. Instead of tackling, as you said, the real concern with illegal weapons smuggled in from the United States across the Canadian border, we're instead taking firearms away from hunters and folks who are going out duck hunting in the fall, people who are going to responsibly use the gun at the firing range. Those are the people who are being affected, the ones who are not committing crimes, who are not a threat to their communities. So that's the concern that I have with it, and as do all of my colleagues. So we're appointing a chief firearms officer in the province of Alberta rather than taking the federally appointed firearms officer. And the intention here is to make sure that the interests of Albertans and the culture of responsible gun ownership is understood and respected from Alberta point of view. Because there are a huge number of individuals within the riding and across the province that are hunters or sport shooters that do use their firearms responsibly, that understand that it's a responsibility that is not to be taken lightly, and have been doing that since they often since they were very, very young, and have been around firearms, and their fathers and parents and community leaders taught them how to appropriately handle firearms, and now they're being taken away from them because they've done everything right. So that's the concern that we have, and I think that it's a genuine concern, one that Albertans, whether or not you own firearms, can thoughtfully understand.